Went to see my physician. He said, you're definitely ill. Then said the nurse, I've seen worse, and the doctor just gave me a pill. Take one of those three times a day. Don't ever stop until you're nearly dead or almost better. Keep out of the reach of children. The thing is, there might be some side effects. You mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.
Welcome to When Your Health Matters. Your host is Dr. Richard Hantoon of Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located right here in the Hudson Valley in Newburgh. Dr. Hantoon has been practicing alternative health, utilizing chiropractic and many other alternative health techniques for the past 27 years to support you when your health matters. It's his intention to offer practical advice every week for you to consider and apply in your own life to make your life and the lives of your family and friends healthier and happier. And when you have questions, he'll give you resources to get your health-related questions answered from Doc Rick himself or another expert from the show. Being empowered to make positive health choices before a problem arises is the best way to approach health. And he promises to have information for you every week that will allow you to become proactive and empowered to take control of your health and your life. Doc Rick is grateful you're tuned in today, and your journey will begin after our first commercial break from our generous sponsor.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
I'm here with Bruce Bagan of B&B Pool and Spa Center. We're talking about making home pools and spas green.
As always, it's great speaking with you, Jimmy.
You are the exclusive pool builder that offers the IntelliPool and IntelliSpa.
Jimmy, green is about more than just energy. It's about safety and cleanliness as well.
What makes up an Intelli system?
As far as what's green, it includes a programmable IntelliFlow pump with its built-in shutoff feature that meets New York and New Jersey's requirements for new pools. We use heat pumps that reduce heating costs. We offer solar heating as well. For those people who wish to reduce or eliminate chemicals in the pool, we can install a system that makes their water virtually chemical-free.
Thanks for informing our listeners, Bruce. If you need to contact a pool professional about your pool, call B&B Pool and Spa Center, 787 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chestnut Ridge, and on the web at bbpoolandspa.com, or call 800-594-2137. That's bbpoolandspa.com, 800-594-2137.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Welcome to this week's show, When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Hantoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center, located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225, or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class. You can read any of my books. You can go to my website, which is spineboy.com. I would encourage you to go to the website. It's a wealth of information. It's a labor of love, and it's hopefully it gives you any and all the information you need to better understand your health and your health concerns. So the website, again, is spineboy.com, so I would invite you to do that. What else can we talk about? Well, we're just starting the show. I guess we should introduce my cohort. His name is Mark Sabin. He's the man behind the scenes. He's the gentleman who develops the topics, comes up with the questions, and asks me those questions to ferret out the information and the understanding that you as a listener need. He's a very valuable member of this team. We appreciate everything that he does, the time, energy, and effort. We want to welcome Mark and say welcome, Mark, and welcome to When Your Health Matters.
Well, thank you, Doc Rick. It's a pleasure to be here. And, you know, last week we were talking about heart health, and one of the things that came up during the conversation in that show was the issues of blood pressure. And one of the main health problems plaguing society today is high blood pressure. But that's actually not just a new problem. That problem has been around for quite some time, hasn't it?
Well, Mark, high blood pressure is a serious problem and has been for a long time, and it is a symptom of other concerns that can be traced back to poor nutrition. And this is the nutritional deficiency diseases, and it will continue to be a problem until we address the real issue, the lack of quality nutrition and the effects of not having high quality nutrition for the body to do what the body's supposed to do.
So what exactly is blood pressure?
It's the measurement of pressure within the arteries upon the heart beating and pumping the blood through the blood system. which is the first number in the blood pressure reading. And then the second number in the reading is when the system is relaxed and filling. So if you have a blood pressure of, let's say, 120 over 80, which they tell you is the ideal blood pressure, which I'm not sure why they call that the ideal, but the 120 is the systolic pressure when the heart is beating,
mm-hmm.
and the 80 would be the diastolic pressure, which is when the heart is relaxed and filling.
So if your blood pressure is too high, could you actually rupture a blood vessel?
Yes, you could, but that would mean the person has some serious other health problems in order for a blood vessel to rupture, and it does happen, which is why it's important for us to discuss this topic and help people understand the truth about blood pressure.
And, I mean, isn't it true that, you know, you cannot feel the danger of having high blood pressure?
Well, it's known as the silent killer, and that's because there are no signs associated with high blood pressure, since it's something that happens slowly over time for most, and so it's important to understand that you should have your blood pressure checked regularly. You should have it checked completely, which I'm sure we'll get into, and you should make sure that you understand what your blood pressure does when you're completely relaxed versus when you're completely stressed out and what the difference of those numbers are, mm-hmm. so that as you continue to age, you will really know what your blood pressure is doing.
And what it means. So when you go to the doctor's office and they wrap a sleeve around your arm and then they put some pressure, squeezes your arm, what are they listening for?
Well, it's interesting. We've mentioned that listening to the when they have the sphygmomanometer and the stethoscope attached to the arm and they pump it up, what they're doing is they're blocking the blood flow through the main artery in the arm. The stethoscope is actually attached to over the surface of that particular artery. And so when you close the blood off and the blood can't go through, you don't hear anything. As you slowly let the air out of the blood pressure cuff, eventually it's going to be let out enough that a little bit of blood gets through. You're going to hear the beating of the heart within the stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first pressure. That's the maximum pressure. That's known as the systolic pressure, and that's when the heart is maximally contracting and pumping and pushing the blood through the system. So you want to gradually let the blood flow through the blood vessel, and the first pressure, the beating that you hear within the stethoscope, is that first pressure that is your upper number or your systolic pressure. Now, as you continue to listen to it and you open up the and you take more and more pressure off the cuff itself and off the artery itself, eventually the artery is going to become fully open. And then the blood's just going to be flowing through, and you won't hear anything. And that's the second number where the blood pressure or the beating within the stethoscope goes away. So the first number is where you hear it beating. The second number is where you stop hearing it beating. The first number is associated with the blood, the upper number mm-hmm. of the blood pressure, mm-hmm. and the second number is lower. So the complete reading is what your blood pressure is at that particular moment.
Okay, and that's very interesting. That on the one hand, you hear a sound, and then the next, it goes away.
Right.
So those systolic pressure, the diastolic pressure, one is when the blood is pumping out, and
correct.
The other is when the heart is filling in.
Correct.
Okay. So what do those numbers tell us about a person's health?
Well, they tell us a lot if you take blood pressure fully. The first number, if it's too high, it indicates that the heart is really under a lot of stress. The second number, if that's also high, that means that the system isn't recovering, and so the system just maintains a high level of stress. Now, ultimately, if you take blood pressure once, it doesn't tell you what the system's doing. It just simply tells you the amount of stress that's in the system. What you can actually determine is if you take the first number, the systolic, and you subtract the second number, the diastolic, you get a thing called pulse pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Pulse pressure is the amount of stress that is actually on the heart in the moment. So ideally, if you have a blood pressure of 120 over 80, and you subtract the 80 from the 120, you get a reading of 40. 40 would be the pulse pressure. Now, what is the range of pulse pressure that we would like a person to have? Somewhere between 30 and 50. So 40 would be right in the middle of that. That's why they say 120 over 80 is, quote, ideal. But any more than 110 over 70, that would also be the same pulse pressure. That would also be ideal. Or, 170 over 130, the pulse pressure is still 40, and that would be ideal. But they would say that the systolic is too high and the diastolic is way too high, and you may have a stroke or what have you. The truth of the matter is as long as your pulse pressure is doing what it's supposed to do, your heart is accommodating for the stress that it's under, and you shouldn't really be concerned about having consequences of that.
The stress is interesting because one time I went to the doctor's office, and I think I had just walked up the stairs or something like that, and they came in and they said, well, your blood pressure is high. I don't remember what the numbers were, but they said your blood pressure is high. And I said, well, that's very odd. I said, after sitting with the doctor, I said, well, do you mind taking my blood pressure again? Because it didn't seem right that it was high like that. So they took my blood pressure again after I'd been sitting there with the doctor for a few minutes. Completely normal, totally different pressure. So within, 15 minutes or something like that, we got a totally different reading. So your blood pressure is an indication in a moment in time. It's not necessarily like it's always that high through the day, right?
Right. And I know the listener can appreciate that if you go to see your doctor, sometimes you're nervous.
Right.
And they take your blood pressure when you first get into the doctor's office, probably when your nerves are at their heightened state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you're probably going to get a high reading. And maybe they understand that. Maybe they don't understand it. Some of what I think they do understand, and some of it I just think that it's the nature of being oblivious as human beings, because as human beings, a lot of things that we do, we're oblivious of. So when they take the blood pressure, they're usually taking it only in one position. That's going to be an incomplete blood pressure reading. Again, it's going to give you the pulse pressure, which is just subtracting the lower number from the upper number. And that's something that you want to ask them about. What was my reading? And the nurse may or may not want to give that to you. They may want the doctor to discuss it, and that's fine. That's just a control mechanism that they have within the system. So great, when the doctor comes in, just say, listen, I really want to understand, what did my blood pressure reading? The nurse wouldn't tell me, or the physician's assistant wouldn't tell me, what was my blood pressure reading? And good, then you do the math in your head, and then you know what your pulse pressure is. And then if they want to talk to you about what your blood pressure is, do what you did. Say, listen, well, when I came in, I was a little bit stressed. I was a little bit late. I was in traffic. I got deadlines. I got all this life stuff going on. My kid's sick, or, I'm just really climbing the walls kind of thing. After I've been here for a little while and I'm a little bit more relaxed and we've been having a conversation, take my blood pressure and let's see what it is. And you will see that it's probably lower at that point, because now you're in an environment and now you're in a more relaxed state. And it's just about getting to that relaxed state. It's interesting, my dad, who's always been a physical fitness freak, one day he had a viral imbalance that was affecting his gallbladder that blew out his adrenal circuit, which regulates blood pressure, and his blood pressure went up. And he went into the doctor, and the doctor, to him, said my dad's biggest fear. He says, your blood pressure's high. If we don't do something to fix it, you're going to have a stroke and die. This is a guy whose resting heart rate is 38 beats a minute. His heart is twice as efficient as the average person. He gets two times the amount of efficiency out of his heart than the average person does. And now the guy is telling him that he's going to have a heart attack. And it's like, okay, well, if my dad has a predisposition to worrying about that, and he did, so he bought a blood pressure cuff, and he would take his blood pressure about 900 times a day just to see what his blood pressure was doing. It's like, okay, well, it's all over the map. Well, yeah, it's all over the map. But the more you think about it, the more obsessed you're going to become about it, the more it's going to go up. So do it in a relaxed state, but do it completely.
Do it completely. Well, and I think we'll get into what it means to do that completely. But before we do it, does blood pressure relate to your heart rate?
It doesn't directly relate to heart rate, although there is a relationship there. The faster your heart rate is, if it's beating all the time and you're pumping all the time and there's no relaxation between beats, what do you think that's going to do to the pressure within the system?
Well, that would be building it up.
Right. So as your heart rate increases, your blood pressure would also increase, which is why you want to give somebody an opportunity to just be relaxed when you take it. If you take it in a neutral state, then you're going to get an accurate number. If you take it, I just ran a marathon, take my blood pressure. It might be high. I don't know. Maybe if I ran it aerobically, it wouldn't be high. Mm-hmm. It just depends on the situation and the practitioner. And more importantly, the patient needs to understand that. So when the doctor says, well, your blood pressure is high, ask them, well, What is, you're defining it as high. What were the numbers? Tell me what the numbers were. Do the quick math, understand what the pulse pressure is, telling you what the stress on the heart is. And if it's between 30 and 50, don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. What is the stress? What is the stress factor when the pulse pressure is beyond that range?
Well, when the pulse pressure is above 50,
mm-hmm.
okay, the wider that number gets, the more of an expanse there is between beating and maximum contraction versus relaxation and maximum filling. So the wider that that gap is, the more the heart has to shift back and forth between those two. The wider that gap is, could you see that being more stressful?
I could see that being more stressful.
If I have to take a step that is 12 inches and I take a step forward, take a step back, and I maintain that 12-inch step, I could probably do that all day and my heart rate wouldn't even increase. But if I had to go 3 feet or 5 feet between steps, the farther I have to go, the more work I'm doing to compensate for the distance that I have to cover.
Mm-hmm.
The wider the distance, the more stress, the more tension within the system, the more likelihood for a problem. So if your pulse pressure is greater than 50, well, now you're starting to move into your heart is being stressed out every time it beats.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you say somebody with what would ostensibly be, especially now that they've changed the numbers, you have a blood pressure of 130 over 80, which is still within that 50 range, that would be considered high blood pressure.
Right, because essentially what they're doing, and this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, if they lower the standards, then that means more people are going to demonstrate that they have higher blood pressure, which means the more people are going to need to be put on medication from how they're choosing to solve the problem. It's never solving the problem, because how long do you need to be on blood pressure medication?
The rest of your life.
For the rest of your life. That's good business. That's good profit margin. That's not good understanding, and it's not the golden rule, and it's not what we should be doing to every human being. We should be educating people to understand how to take responsibility for themselves, not make it a third party's responsibility for me to be healthy.
But we're sort of stuck in this concept that if we have high blood pressure, we need to medicate. We don't really accept the idea that we could actually get our blood pressure regulated through diet and exercise.
I know, and that's the lack of understanding, the lack of education. That's the ignorance of our society. That's the coming from two generations ago where we were taught to put blind faith in what our medical doctor says because they have the understanding and we don't. Well, now we live in a society where you can get the answer to your question simply by consulting with Siri or Alexa or Google or whatever, and you can get the answers that you want. The television commercials are pushing that right now, and it's like, okay, well, then the question is going to become once and I'm just having this thought right now, but I can see it going in that direction. Once everybody's used to just asking out into the ethers, just you're in a room somewhere, Alexa, answer this question. Alexa, turn my TV on. Alexa, smartphone, turn my thermostat on properly. Open my garage door. All these things that go on with smart technology. Well, once we're all 100% invested in that, well, now the people that are controlling that technology have the ability to manipulate us by changing the data in their favor.
Right.
I can see that happening in the future.
That could easily happen.
And people would say, oh, you're crazy, Dr. Rick. And I'm going to say, all right, well, let's just sit back and watch and see what happens. And at the end of the day, if you know the right information, then it doesn't matter what they're trying mm-hmm. to do because you already know the truth.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what is the danger of having hypertension or high blood pressure?
Hypertension, just to be clear, is the same thing as high blood pressure mm-hmm. because some people say, I don't know what hypertension is, but I have high blood pressure. Well, they're the same, okay? It's just somebody trying to sound smart versus somebody just trying to be basic. And I personally like basics rather than trying to show how smart I can be. So when somebody has high blood pressure, it's just if you constantly have pressure inside your vascular system and you're suffering from nutritional deficiency diseases where you're getting arteriosclerosis and atherosclerosis, which we talked about last week with the heart disease show, and the blood vessels become rigid or the blood vessels become weak, okay, well, you can have an aneurysm. That's where you get a ballooning of the artery, where the artery could actually burst and then you internally bleed to death. Or you could break off a piece of the plaque that is lining the inside of the artery due to too much crap food and not eating right enough of balanced food and having nutritional deficiencies. Well, if you break off a piece of that plaquing and it goes from a wide artery down to an arterior and an arteriole and into a capillary, well, now you basically create the basis for blocked blood flow, which in the heart would be a heart attack, which in your brain would be a stroke, which in your lungs would be an embolism. And it's like, okay, in your calves would be deep vein thrombosis. It's all the same problem. They just named it four different things so that they can apply four different treatments, but it's really the same problem.
And they usually give you blood thinners for those kind
blood
of problems,
thinners,
right?
And if they thin your blood too much, then you're going to bleed internally, and then you get about 2,000 people a year die from internal bleeding as a result of taking a blood thinner.
Yeah, my father, who has passed away since, but at one point he was on blood thinners and actually bled out so much that they had to basically completely replace all the blood in his body because he had an ulcer that went untreated. And, you know,
and he was bleeding through his ulcer.
He was bleeding out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really traumatic. Stress seems to be the big problem here with hypertension.
Well, stress is a personal decision, Mark. And I say that because stress itself isn't bad. How you react to the stress determines whether it's good or bad and determines whether it has a positive or negative effect. Let me give you an example. You go to the gym and you lift weights. That's a stress, right?
Sure.
What's the result of that stress if you lift weights properly?
You get stronger.
You get stronger, you get bigger. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the consequence of that stress if you exercise improperly?
You get injury.
You get injuries. What's the difference?
How you went about it.
How you applied the stress. The stress itself wasn't a problem. You eat the right foods, what happens?
You get healthy.
If you eat the wrong foods, what happens?
You get ill.
Okay. The stress is not the food. It's the response to whatever it is that you're doing. Okay. If you sit in a lecture and it's talked in a way that you understand what's being taught and you learn something, that's mental stress. Well, if the doctor or the lecturer is talking to you in a language that you don't understand, or maybe in a language that is foreign to you completely, like instead of talking in English, they're talking in Mandarin, and you walk in there and you're trying, it's interesting. I was at a movie theater in Hong Kong once, and I went in to watch a movie, and they were handing out headphones to everybody that was walking in because the movie was in English, and it was being translated into Chinese for the people that needed Chinese because I was in Hong Kong, China. And so it was interesting. The woman goes to hand me a headset, and then she looks at me, and she was just like, oh, I don't think you need this because it's in English. And so I'm the only one in the movie theater watching this movie without a headset on because it was in my native language. Had I gone there and had it been in Mandarin and they didn't give me a headset to translate for me, I would be sitting there saying, I get a sense of what's going on, but I have no idea what they're saying. And it's like watching television with the volume down. The lips are moving, but you can't hear what they're saying. And it's like, okay, so if you're able to take in what is happening in a balanced fashion, it's not going to be stressful. So it's not the stress itself, it's the response to how you're being stimulated, whether it's physical, chemical, mental, emotional, thermal, nutritional, whatever kind of stress that, quote, stresses us out. It's not the stress itself, it's how you, the individual, either react to or respond to the stress. If you respond to the stress, it's not stressful. If you react to the stress, chances are it's going to be stressful.
Well, this is a very, very interesting conversation. Doc Rick, we need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the alternativehealthcarenetwork.com. When we get back, I want to talk to you some more about stress and blood pressure.
Absolutely. And if you have questions about your health and want to get the answers, consider what this question says and go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you are listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We're located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park. That is in Pooler, Georgia. We are at Suite 404 of Building 400. If you want to talk to me and get a hold of me, the best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Again, 845-561-2225. I will be the one answering that phone for the most part. You can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. And it would be my pleasure to help you to better understanding with the concerns that you have. Today, Mark and I, we've been discussing stress and blood pressure, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And we were talking quite a bit about stress and the fact that, stress is it's really a reaction that causes the bigger problem to stress. But that reaction and that stress response, is that a leading cause of inflammation?
No, not really, Mark. It's a stimulus for inflammation, but the leading cause of inflammation happens to be nutritional deficiencies after applying stress. That's what leads to inflammation. Inflammation is the first sign of nutritional deficiencies. And since we are all nutritionally deficient, we will all develop inflammation and lead to chronic health concerns. And that's why inflammation is such an issue in this country.
And most diseases now are linked to, in some way, to inflammation, right?
Well, all of them, Mark. And then again, that is due to lack of proper nutrition. So inflammation is the first indication that your body isn't getting what it needs. It's like we've talked about this many times in the past. If your three-year-old, who's no longer 3 years old, but when we probably started talking about it, she was three. So if the three-year-old is lacking what they desire, what happens?
They throw a tantrum.
They throw a tantrum.
They get angry.
They get inflamed. And then if you give them what they'd ask for, then what happens?
Then they calm down.
The inflammation goes away.
Right.
The body is the exact same mechanism. If you give the body what it needs in the ratios that it requires it, then the body will just run very well for a very, very long time without any issues whatsoever. If you deprive it of what it needs, the first thing the body's going to do is going to get inflamed in an effort to open up more doors to let more opportunity for what it's lacking to come in. But if they've stripped the nutrition out of all of our food, and they're all the foods that we have are deficient in the ingredients that God intended that used to come from the Garden of Eden, if those ingredients aren't being supplied, then we're all going to have inflammation. And over time, that's going to lead to cardiovascular disease and heart disease and all the consequences associated with that.
And that actually takes place even on the cellular level, that the cells themselves become inflamed.
That's exactly where it starts, at the cellular level. It's not until it's accumulated to neighborhoods of cells and tissues of cells and then organs and glands of cells and then systems of cells that's when we go to the doctor and we say, oh, you have this inflammatory system problem.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the problems that lead to high blood pressure? There must be multiple factors.
There are multiple factors, nutritional deficiencies, stress, and our body's inability to handle that stress. That's pretty much everything that causes high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. And is high blood pressure related to kidney function?
The kidneys help with the adrenals to maintain sodium and potassium balance, and it's the balance of these two vital minerals that helps to maintain blood pressure.
So now you bring up the sodium issue, and they talk oftentimes about people who have high blood pressure having a low sodium diet. But it's not as simple as that, is it?
Oh, it's definitely not as simple as that, Mark, because if it was, then the problem would have been solved, and yet everybody finds themselves on blood pressure medication. So obviously, the way that they're approaching it is not so simple. Even though they try to make it simple, you just simply need blood pressure medication. And I always empower my patients to just simply ask the most important question, which is why. And the doctors won't answer the question why because they don't understand why. If they understood why, then blood pressure would be solved and heart disease would go away and we wouldn't need all of these pharmaceutical prescription drugs. And that's not going to happen in my lifetime, you know. So at the end of the day, what's important to understand is that sodium is part of the equation. It's not the whole equation, but yet that's the part that people understand. So that's the part that we continue to focus on. If you can give me a minute, I'm going to explain to you exactly what goes on within the body physiologically that leads one to believe that sodium is the culprit. Okay.
Yeah.
So
great.
Sodium and potassium work in conjunction. One is outside of the cell. Sodium helps to carry things into the cell, and then on the other side of the cell is potassium to receive it, and the potassium will take something and bring it outside of the cell. So there's a transfer coming in and out of the cell, which allows the cell to maintain balance and harmony and normal function. Now, when a person's under stress, your adrenal glands produce hormones that help the body respond to the stress. What you want to have is you want to have your blood vessels constrict and get smaller so that you can pump more blood to the vital areas of the body that need to be active in an effort to respond to the stress. So you need more blood up into your head to supply the brain so that you can think clearer, so that your eyes work better, so that your ears work better, so that your smell works better, even your taste, okay? So you need more blood pumped to your head. All right. So it's important for the blood vessels to constrict, and sodium helps those blood vessels constrict so that blood can get to the area under the duress of whatever the emergency is. When the emergency is over and the stress has passed, your body has a recovery mechanism. This is the part of the equation that everybody in the healthcare industry fails to take a look at. It's called aldosterone escape. Your body produces aldosterone, which causes the conservation of sodium and water in addition, okay? Mm-hmm. And the increase in sodium and water retention causes the blood pressure in the system to go up. Like I said, when the condition has passed, you have a condition known as aldosterone escape, to where now your body excretes the aldosterone that was secreted during the stressful situation. Now you don't need aldosterone. Now you don't need to retain more sodium and more liquid associated with it. Now your body can recover. And with aldosterone escape, your body excretes the excess sodium, excretes the excess water, and now begins to conserve potassium. That helps the body go back to normal. Well, when we restrict sodium in our diet, what do you think that does when we're under stress?
And you don't necessarily have enough sodium to respond to
right.
the stress.
Right, so your adrenal glands are going to put out extra aldosterone in an effort to conserve more sodium, which eventually will drive the blood pressure up. But if you don't have enough ingredients in an effort to maintain that, you're going to get adrenal depletion, which is going to cause dysregulation of your blood pressure, dysregulation of how your heart functions, and dysregulation of how your body responds to stress. Okay, so if you take sodium out of the diet, you're setting yourself up for failure. What's probably more important is making sure that you have adequate amounts of potassium, because potassium is the counterbalance to sodium. And most people are deficient in potassium, not because they don't necessarily get enough in their diet, but because most of our diets and our processed refined crap food is laden in sodium. So the foods that we're eating that are higher in sodium create an imbalance between sodium and potassium, giving us the illusion that we're deficient in potassium. So a good solution to people with blood pressure issues might be to increase your potassium intake and support your adrenals, which is what I help people do when it comes to balancing their adrenal function and their blood pressure.
And you're talking about all these foods that you have that are salt-laden. I mean, I think
right. anything that comes in a package has been treated with sodium because sodium is a preservative.
Right, right. I had something. I think I was with my kids one day, and we were at the local water park, and so they wanted to eat something. I said, okay, you know, this is what we're doing today with the kids. So I went and got something I would normally never eat, and I went and got a hot dog. And it was, you know, one of these Nathan hot dogs. And I took a bite of it, and I could not believe how much salt
right.
that I could taste in it.
Right.
It was just like, wow, this is an amazing amount of sodium in there.
So part of what the American Heart Association has done in their effort to, quote, solve blood pressure mm-hmm. issues and heart disease, et cetera, is they want you to restrict your sodium intake. That's because they only looked at the first half of the equation. If they look at the complete equation, God gave the body a mechanism in which to restore balance. The challenge is if you keep your foot on the gas pedal, you're eventually going to burn the system out, and then your body gets dysregulated, and now you need some artificial support in order to regulate what the body can't do. Why? Because A, it's deficient in the proper nutrients. B, it's been running the wrong way for a long time, so it's even more deficient than it should be, and now it doesn't have the ability to recover. Well, when we start to feed the body real nutrition and help those organs recover, help the glands recover, then things go back into balance, and you don't need medication to do it. And you certainly don't need medication to police it all day, every day.
Yeah. Now, as you age, it seems that this becomes more of a problem, right, with blood pressure. What's going on that would cause that?
Let's take a look at that logically, Mark. If you're putting a lot of crap food in your body, which we talked about last week, and that creates damage to the inside of your arteries, so you lay down extra cholesterol in an effort to repair that, because that's what the body uses to repair the damage that inside the arteries, mm-hmm. what happens to the openings within the arteries over time?
They get smaller and
they
smaller.
They get smaller and smaller. And what's that going to do to the pressure over time?
You have to increase the pressure to get the blood flow.
You have to increase the pressure right. in order to get blood through those smaller and smaller openings. So what happens to people as they get older as a byproduct of eating crap food that causes damage to their arteries that need to become more narrow in an effort to make sure that the integrity of the artery is functioning properly? What's going to happen to the blood pressure?
It's going to go up.
It's going to go up. Gee, imagine that. We just covered the whole topic of why your blood pressure tends to increase as you get older. Well, what do you do to fix that? Increase your vitamin G levels, which is going to cause vasorelaxation or vasodilation, which is going to allow the openings in your arteries to naturally get bigger on their own, and mm-hmm. the blood pressure will come down as a natural byproduct of that.
And by having the proper diet, you can actually get rid of some of the plaquing that's blocking the arteries in the first place.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And as we've talked about before, so much of that plaquing occurs from the amount of sugar that gets ingested.
The sugar and all the other crap that we eat that has a long shelf life that's advertised on the television that we really don't need.
And what do people crave mostly when they crave food? Salt and
all
sugar,
of it,
right?
Salt and sugar. And
all that salt and sugar.
Can you imagine why we have blood pressure issues, Mark?
It makes so much sense. Gosh, you're just taking away all my questions here. Now, there are a lot of medications that are being prescribed for high blood pressure. Is the main reason that people are being given those medications is to prevent a heart attack? Is that what they're telling people?
That's part of it. Okay. A lot of what goes on in our healthcare system is about fear-based tactics. Mm-hmm. They want to tell you what the consequences are of not taking the medication and what the consequences are of not treating it appropriately. And realistically, a lot of times the treatment that's being recommended is not treating something appropriately. It may be the standards of care. It may be the standards in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But to put somebody on a medication that they have to take every day for the rest of their lives is not treating things appropriately. We go back to the Hippocratic Oath, which first says to do no harm.
Right.
Well, as soon as you write somebody a script, you're doing them harm because you have no idea how their body's going to respond to this chemical that you're being given in an effort to trick the physiology within your body to do something, mm-hmm. and it's obviously going to have consequences. And it's the consequences that violates the Hippocratic Oath, because it's the consequences that is actually demonstrating that harm is coming to the body. So a lot of what you see on the TV commercials nowadays talks about you may need to take more than one medication to manage your condition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because you need the second medication to manage the consequences of the first medication.
Right.
And if the first medication was the right medication to begin with, there wouldn't be any consequences. The person would go back into balance and everything would be done. You go to the auto mechanic to get your oil changed. Once the oil's changed, no more a problem.
Right.
Until it's time to change your oil again. Okay. You have a flat tire. You fix the flat. It's no longer a problem. You don't have to go back every day to check to see if the flat needs fixing again. If it's done right, it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Why is our standards of healthcare different than everything else that we demand in our society?
That's probably a question that is going to take more time than we have.
We should probably do a show on that.
We should probably do a show just on that question alone. Well, this conversation is so fascinating, Doc Rick. We need to take a short commercial break to hear from our generous sponsor, the AlternativeHealthcareNetwork.com. When we get back, I do have some more questions to ask you about the topic that we're on, stress and blood pressure.
And I appreciate that, and I would invite the listener to listen to this next commercial, consider what it says. When you have health-related issues, please go to spineboy.com.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
Do you have health concerns? Are you or a loved one struggling with a health condition that has you worried? Worried it might get worse? Worried you will never be able to do the things you love anymore? Worried your life is slowly slipping away? Do you have a chronic pain condition? Do you have a specific health concern? Do you have concerns about your child's health? Do you want to learn about health and wellness? If you said yes to any of these questions, you need to go to spineboy.com. Spineboy.com is your information center for all your health concerns and how to restore and improve your health to its highest level. Spineboy.com has over 1,000 articles on different health concerns. Spineboy.com will inform you about your health concerns and what you can do without all the harmful medications and invasive surgeries. If you would like to restore and improve your health, go to Spineboy.com. 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 Naturally.
You are listening to the Alternative Healthcare Network.
And we are back, and you're listening to When Your Health Matters, the show designed to empower you to better health through knowledge and education. And I'm your host, Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center. We are located at 138 Canal Street in Pooler Park, that is in Pooler, Georgia. We're at Suite 404 in Building 400. The best way to get a hold of me would be to call my cell phone, and I would encourage you to do that if you have questions. My cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. Or you can email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. You can come to a free healthcare class. You can come in for an evaluation, whatever the case is. Just if you have questions and we're not getting to the source of them on this particular show, that means you probably need to come into the office in order for us to give you the understanding that you need. And today, Mark and I have been talking about stress and blood pressure, and Mark, I'm sure you have more questions.
Well, you know, one of the more stressful things you can happen to you is you go to the doctor's office and find out your blood pressure is high. And they measure your blood pressure one way. But in point of fact, you have a different way of measuring blood pressure. And it's important for people to understand that to really get an accurate understanding of what your blood pressure is, we talked about pulse pressure, but there's more to it than that.
There is more to it than that. And the different way of taking blood pressure is not different in the sense, it's just more complete. They take incomplete blood pressure in your doctor's office. It's incomplete because they only take it in one position. Now, if there's doctor's offices out there that are taking it in more than one position, I applaud you for being accurate with what it is that you're trying to do for your patients. We need more doctors like you that are going to do that, because it's not about us, it's about the patient. So if you want to help the patient, you want to do a complete evaluation and then go over the results of that complete evaluation completely. So to take blood pressure properly, when the person comes into the office, you give them an opportunity to relax. Let them have a little bit of water, whatever. They're sitting down. They're relaxed. You're having a conversation, and everything is hunky-dory. You're not talking about anything stressful or anything in particular. Did you see the game last night? You know, how are your kids? What's going on with the wife? How's the job doing? Whatever. Hopefully none of those topics are stressful, unless, of course, they are. But you want to have a neutral conversation. And when you've had the neutral conversation for, I don't know, a minute or so, okay, we're going to take your blood pressure now, and we're going to take it completely, and we're going to discuss what the results are and what that means for your overall health. So you sit down and you put the blood pressure cuff on the patient's arm, and you attach the stethoscope to their the bend in their elbow, and you pump the blood pressure cuff up fully, and then you slowly let the blood pressure cuff, the stress of the blood pressure cuff release, and as the pressure comes down, you'll eventually hear the heart beating the first time. That's your systolic. And then it continues to let the air out, and it'll eventually the beating of the heart will go away, and that's your diastolic. And when you get those two readings, as soon as you get the diastolic, have the patient go from seated to standing. The blood pressure cuff is still on their arm. The stethoscope is still applied to their elbow area there. And you want to pump the blood pressure cuff up again, and you want to take the blood pressure again in a standing position. And when you get down to where the diastolic shows up the second time, you immediately want the patient to lay down on their back. Okay, still blood pressure cuff attached to them, still the stethoscope attached to their arm. Pump up the blood pressure cuff as they're laying down. When they get to the laying down position, you take the blood pressure for a third time. And what you're going to see is the blood pressure is going to change as they change position. It's going to be whatever, let's say it's 120 over 80 when they're seated. Then they stand up. A lot of times, people listening to this show right now, if they get up quickly, what usually happens to those people?
A lot of people get lightheaded.
They get lightheaded and they say, what the heck is that about? Well, your blood pressure didn't react appropriately, your body's stress response didn't respond immediately, and your blood pressure didn't go up the way that it should. So more blood being pumped to your head didn't actually happen. The stress of gravity pulls the blood out of your head. And when you don't have enough blood in your head, you get
lightheaded.
You get a little dizzy. You let it get a little bit woozy. Your eyes, all these things go on. And then you stand there, you brace yourself, and then over the course of, I don't know, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it happens to be, the longer it takes, the more severe the problem, okay, you eventually recover. Okay. Well, what happens when you have a blood pressure cuff on the person's arm and they go from seated to standing? If they get lightheaded, that means their blood pressure went down. And you're going to see that in the second reading. If it was 120 over 80, you may have it go down to 110 over 75. Or it may go down to 100 over 60 or something along those lines. It's going to go down. That's not healthy. That's abnormal. Your blood pressure should go up 10 to 12 points. So if it was 120 over 80 sitting, it should go to 130 or 135 over 80 or 85 or even 90. And then after you've taken the second reading in the standing position, keep the blood pressure cuff on, immediately have them lay down and take it a third time. Now, what should happen if you take the stress out of the system, Mark?
It should go down.
It should go down. So when you go from standing to laying down, your blood pressure should come back down again. It should come back down to what it was when you were sitting, or maybe even go a little bit lower. Now, the challenge that most doctors are going to find and the challenge that most patients are going to experience is their blood pressure is going to go down when they go from seated to standing instead of going up. And then when they go from standing to laying down, it stays up. And that means that the system is not responding to the change in position or the stress of gravity appropriately. That tells us that their adrenal system is depleted. They have adrenal depletion, and they're going to need to support their adrenals, which ultimately regulates the sodium-potassium imbalance and regulates blood pressure. Now you're dealing with the source of a blood pressure problem. You're not looking to mask it. Now you can understand it. Good. Now you address the system appropriately. The blood pressure recovers in a normal fashion, and you don't need blood pressure medication.
And it all happens that quickly, just from sitting to standing to laying down, as instantly as that.
If you're healthy. Mm-hmm. If you're not healthy, then it doesn't respond appropriately. You go from seated to standing, your blood pressure dumps, you get lightheaded, you fall down, you pass out, and then the lion on the plains of the Kalahari come over and eat you. Okay. Or you're sitting in the corner waiting for the bus to come, and the bus comes around the corner. You get excited because you're going to be the first one on the bus, and you stand up quickly. You get lightheaded. You pass out, fall into the street, and the bus runs you over. Those are things that go on in our society every day.
Does it ever happen that your blood pressure from sitting goes up too much? It overreacts? Is that ever?
I'll be honest with you. I've never seen that happen. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is I realized this method and this understanding and this lack of normal function when I used to live in New York, and I used to go into the city all the time. And if you're on the East Side Highway and you get on roughly around the 110th Street Bridge, what have you, and you get on and you're headed towards the 90s, when you get below 95th Street, there's a building that sits over the highway. And so you go from being outside in the light, you go into this overpass, or it's almost like a tunnel, right. And you go from light to darkness. And when I was a kid and we would be in the car, everybody would put their brakes on as they went from light into darkness. Everybody who was driving was dealing with blood pressure issues, and the opening and closing in the iris of their eye wasn't responding properly. That's a symptom of adrenal depletion.
Mm-hmm.
When you go from light to dark, okay, your irises should open up widely to let more light in.
Right.
When you go from light to from dark to lightness, your pupils constrict in an effort to restrict the amount of light. All those people that are addicted to wearing sunglasses, even before they leave their house to go outside, those people are adrenal depleted because they require sunglasses. Their eyes won't accommodate to the sun without having their protective layer on. All of those people need to have their blood pressure evaluated because they have adrenal depletion. And if you're a woman, you're going to develop menopausal symptoms in and around when you develop menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that has to do with adrenal depletion, which ultimately traces back to what you can monitor every day, which would be your blood pressure.
So the blood pressure is how you monitor it, but the adrenal depletion is the cause.
Is the problem.
Is the problem.
Fix the adrenals, get rid of all the stress in a person's life, or teach them to have a response to stress instead of a reaction to stress, to where it's proactive instead of reactive, and then you won't have these issues. But we live in a reactive society because everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses. You got to have the newest, latest, greatest phone. You got to have the newest, latest, greatest technology, and we're all tied to deadlines, and we all have to check our phone every second. Why? Because something in the world may have changed, and I got to see what my email says, or what my Instagram, or what my Facebook, or what my Twitter, or all of this stuff. And it's and all we're doing is we're perpetuating a higher stress society, and the powers that be are okay with it because then everybody needs the medication, which is profit in their pocket.
Yeah. Now, if you're having to take medication, because you have high blood pressure and the doctors have prescribed it for you, and you don't want to continue to be on that medication, is there a way to get off of it?
Come work with me, let me address your imbalance, and then go back and have the conversation with your medical doctor because now your blood pressure is actually too low because the medication will make it go too low. And when your medication is making your blood pressure too low because you don't need the medication, then the doctor will either reduce the amount of medication you're on or will take you off it altogether. And then they seem like, wow, I solved blood pressure. And no, it's like myself and the patient solve the blood pressure, and the doctor just gets to
take the credit
the credit for it.
Yeah. I mean, if you find that that happens, is there ever a time where they think that, well, it must have been the medication actually solved the problem?
That would be up to the person who's having that thought. I don't know that logically you can put those two together.
I mean, the drug simply lowers your blood pressure, right?
Right, but it doesn't reset the circuit that's malfunctioning.
Well, you know, once again, this is a fantastic conversation to have. I mean, it's just such an important thing to understand that there are alternatives to going down the path of taking medications and going into surgery and having those kind of medical interventions, which inevitably have secondary effects on you,
right,
whether it's side effects from drugs or the fact that once you've had surgery, you've changed your body unalterably. There's no returning back to what it was originally. You now have to deal with a new situation. And the listeners out there who are tuned into the show, I'm sure have their own situation, which will be very particular for them because everybody's an individual, and part of how you approach healthcare is that you treat the individual. You don't treat the disease or the condition or whatever they come in with, but you actually deal with the entire person. If somebody would like to reach out to you and get your perspective on their situation, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that would be to call my cell phone. Again, it's always with me. The cell phone number is area code 845-561-2225. That's the best way to get a hold of me. If you're a little bit more passive and you know, want to create some space between us, I would say to email me. The best way to email me is to email me directly at docrick@spineboy.com. That's D-O-C-R-I-C-K at spineboy.com. Come to a free healthcare class where there's no obligation for you to do anything other than to get your questions answered. Come and have an evaluation. Come get a different perspective. Come get the truth about why you have the imbalances that you have, and then let us develop a plan together to get you out of your imbalances so you can just go back to living your life not have to make it a full-time job of going to the doctor to get tests and get results and get more tests and get more results and blah, blah, blah. So I would encourage the listener to do that. I want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your listenership. I hope this show has been valuable to you. Please tune back in next week, same health time, same health station. This is Dr. Richard Huntoon from Advanced Alternative Medicine Center saying, I look forward to supporting you when your health matters.
What started out as a headache has become a pain in the butt. What was just an itchy finger now is a swollen foot. Doctor, I've been out of breath and I've never walked up a hill. Avoid all diet and exercise, I'd rather give you a pill. The thing is, there might be some side effects, you mean there probably will. Well, if it's a fact, just come back and I'll give you another pill. On top of that, 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 on top of that. And then he showed me his bill. I popped another pill.